Read to us now from Exodus chapter 3, and this includes somebody who did not just metaphorically fall down on his knees, but covered up his eyes and probably physically fell down on his knees.
It's Exodus 3, 1 to 14. Now Moses was tending the flocks of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw through the bush, so although the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses! Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the land, from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of these Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you.
Thank you, John. Anne, come and share with us.
I want to go back and remind us of that verse for the year that Dave was talking about earlier. Do not conform to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then it goes on, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So this morning, in a bit of a kind of cryptic title, we're talking about mind matters. And I wonder how many of you have changed your mind about something lately. We often say, or people often joke, that it's a woman's privilege to change her mind. And I could have put up some pictures but decided that would be too much of a distraction. But what shall I wear? Oh, I'll put this on. No, I think I'll put something different on. Some things that we change our minds about, and there must be loads of things we probably change our minds about most days, are pretty inconsequential. But there are some things that changing our minds about, and I found a wonderful cartoon of a woman changing her mind at the altar and saying, well, shall we just be friends instead? Have far more far-reaching consequences and a lasting impact, not only on the person who changes their mind, but on a much wider circle. So Some things we can readily change our minds about without affecting others or without even affecting ourselves much. But sometimes a change of mind, a renewing of our mind, can be a huge opportunity for our own good as well as the good of others. Other times, changing our minds, renewing our minds, doing something different can feel like it's a change way beyond us. We're stuck in a rut, and it's a fairly comfortable rut. There's no obvious way of getting out of this rut, but life goes on, life chugs on, and we can be relatively comfortable. Moses was 80 years old. He was minding his own business. It was just another boring day minding the sheep. Life had had its adventures and misadventures in the past, and so he decided to stick with what was safe, and he was minding sheep in the desert. He was a good distance from home, and the Bible comments that he was at Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. And I thought, oh, if it's commenting that he's there, it must be because Mount Horeb's been significant before this. But actually, this is the first mention in the Bible of Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, that goes on to be such a key place through the Bible, not least when Moses gets there many, many years later to receive the Ten Commandments. Moses out in the desert. And he tries to find grass for the sheep in what are pretty difficult conditions if you've ever been to that area. Something strange catches his attention. A burning bush that doesn't burn up. And as he comes to look closer, a voice comes that stops him in his tracks. Take off your shoes, for the ground on which you are standing is holy ground. This was the desert where he tramped with his sheep all the time. But today, it was holy ground. Wow. What's all this about? Why does he need to take off his shoes? Why is it so important that he recognizes the holiness of God? Because in order to take on what God was calling him to, he needed a fresh view of God. And taking his shoes off indicated vulnerability. Who was this? Who was speaking to him? I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And Moses is awestruck. Can you imagine what might have been going on in his mind? He'd known about God and God's hand on his life in his early days in Egypt. He'd known the story about being rescued from the River Nile by the princess and being brought up in the palace. But he also knew that in later years, it had all gone wrong when he tried to rescue one of the Israelites and had finished up murdering an Egyptian in the process. He'd got out by the skin of his teeth, by his own wit and strength, and he'd fled to relatives in Moab. Now he was stuck in what many would see as a dead-end job, but he'd done it probably for 40-odd years. What did God want with him now? And confronted with the holiness of God, he averts his eyes and, as Dave suggests, probably finishes up on his knees on the ground. Afraid to look at God. I can imagine fear. I can imagine shame. I can imagine confusion. I am the God of your fathers. And by implication, I'm your God too, Moses. And God takes Moses straight back to that scene that he'd left behind in Egypt, but from a different perspective. And God says, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned. I know about all their suffering. By implication, Moses hears, you weren't the only one to want to do something, Moses. I have seen, I have heard, I know. So I've come to rescue them, says God. And I can imagine Moses' heart taking a leap of gratitude. At last, the situation I've been so concerned about can change. God is going to do something about it. God knows I've tried before, but it's beyond human ability. It needs a better mind than mine to work out what to do. And not only does God say he wants to rescue them from the slave drivers, but he wants to give them a good place of their own, a land that's described as flowing with milk and honey. Wow! Moses' mind is working fast, thinking what that could mean for his people, when he suddenly realizes that God's not finished the conversation yet. So now go. Pardon? So now go. Who, me? Yes, you, Moses. Go. I'm sending you to bring my people out of Egypt. Now his mind is working overtime. He'd grown up in the palace. He knew how much power Pharaoh had, and this new one was renowned to be even tougher than the one that he'd known. He knew too that the Israelites feared for their very survival, and now God was asking him to do something about it. You've got to be joking, God. Not me. I'm a nobody. How can I make a difference? Pharaoh will never listen to me. It's not a joke, Moses, says God. And what's more, I promise to go with you. You won't do this on your own. But God, I hardly know you. How am I going to be able to get the others to rely on you when I don't even understand all the implications of who you are myself? Whatever am I going to say to them about you? Tell them I am the God who is. We could unpack that so much more today, but there's not time to follow that thread, as well as this thread about mind matters. But I am the God who is there, alive, from eternity past to eternity future. But God, I'll never be able to persuade Pharaoh that it's really you and not some daft idea I dreamt up to bring me fame and fortune. So God gives him some miracles to perform with the very things that he has right to hand with him, his everyday tools. If we'd gone on reading through that chapter, we'd have discovered that a stick, his shepherd's crook, is turned into a snake as God shows him what power he has. His own hand becomes infected with leprosy and then healed again, as God shows him how he can use him. And water that turns to blood. You can do this, Moses. Not just these signs and symbols I've given you to show Pharaoh that I'm behind you, but you can help to set my people free. But God, I've never been a good speaker. Plenty of others could do a better job than I. Even this conversation with you will not change me into a dynamic preacher. How on earth am I going to lead a whole people? And the chapter goes on with excuse after excuse as Moses tries to wheedle his way out of what God wants him to do. But God knew that in order to set his people free, he would need a leader who came from outside of the Israelites' current circumstances and would come with new possibilities way beyond what the Israelites were able to see for themselves. A leader who would set them on a different path, a path to freedom. And Moses is his man for the job. Never mind the fact he was 80. So God answers, who made you the way that you are? Who gave you a mouth to speak? I did. And I did it that way because that was what I needed. Now go and trust me for what you're to say. Right to the very end, Moses argues about what God says. Please send someone else, he says, right at the end. But in the end, he capitulates and he goes back to Jethro and hands in his resignation. You know, sometimes God calls us too in remarkable circumstances. We'll be pottering along on our journey of life, looking after the family, watching the sheep, or the employees we manage, or a group we're involved in, or the work we have. And God breaks in. Take off your shoes. Take notice of this. I've something special to say to you today. And in order to say something special that will get through to you, you need to have a mind that's focused on me and on my holiness. A new mind. A holy God, someone we need to be in awe of. And yet, the God who sees, the God who hears, the God who understands the needs of those he loves. You know, sometimes at spiritual level we think about what goes on in our spirits as being the most important thing. But our minds have enormous power over all that we do. And changing our mind and getting a new mindset about something makes a huge difference to every area of our lives. Some of you have already described this morning tough new situations that you are facing that you would never have chosen to be in. And somehow, Joy's just hinting at finding a new kind of way of facing those difficult challenges. And sometimes God gives us an active choice about what we face and what we choose, and sometimes there are things that are presented to us with seemingly little choice. And we say, I can't do that. that's way beyond me. Whether it's looking after somebody, whether it's facing big challenges to changes in life, whether it's about doing something new and different within the family, within work, or within the church setting. And we say, I haven't got those kind of skills. I couldn't possibly do that. And we need to get a new perspective, to renew what goes on in our minds about ourselves and about each other too. Sometimes we live with lies that have been told us from childhood and that have become kind of a belief within us. So we say and believe things internally that control the way we behave and what we think, that we may not even have told other people. We might say to ourselves, I'll never amount to much. If people really knew me, they wouldn't want me to do anything. I'm useless. I can't be trusted. And they probably all relate back to little things that have happened, and then an echo of somebody significant who's said it to us. And it's become ingrained. And it becomes a block to us moving on. Moses, and some of us will say, I'm a nobody. I only mess things up. I can't make a positive difference to anything. But God wants to change our minds, because our minds matter. To renew them. Not only renewing the way we think about him, but renewing the way we think about ourselves. And God would say to us, when those little echoes of those negative statements about ourselves come in, how can you say that? God says, I made you, and I have a purpose for your life. Whether you're in your teens like Mary, who was told by the angel about Jesus being her child, or in your 80s like Moses, or somewhere in between, those statements are lies. And you can change them. You can change those through prayer. You can change those by beginning to find, well, if that's not true, what is the truth? What could I tell myself instead that is true, but understands how God sees me? And sometimes we can do that on our own, and sometimes we need somebody to come alongside us and talk us through it and pray with us. Then, when we've had a renewing of our mind, then we will be able to test and discover what God's will is. God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. God says to us today, trust me and I will use you to set people free and to become free yourselves. Moses had his staff and he had literally his hands. God says to us today, what is it that you hold in your hand? What skills, what things have you got that I can use? Let him put things in your head about some of the things that you do, some of the person that you are, that could begin to have a bigger impact on your own life and on the lives of others. Being willing to have faith, where faith is spelt R-I-S-K. And then he says, I will give you what you need to accomplish what I have in mind for the people I'm sending you to. Because God uses the weak things in the world to confound the wise. As Moses stood at the burning bush, he had a choice to make. This was a defining moment in his life. He'd never be able to come back to this exact moment again. This was God's call here and now. Oh, he had a bit of an inkling of what lay ahead. He knew the story from both sides, and he knew that leading these people wouldn't be easy. Why else the arguments? If he'd have thought this was going to be a blockbuster story, he'd have been glad to have had the job. But he knew it would be tough. But God knew that it was what he was made for. Not many of us see burning bushes, but we do occasionally have defining moments in our lives. And whether it's about something big or something small, God says, take off your shoes and get a new mindset about God. Think about what you hold in your hand. And through a renewal of your mind, get a new mindset about yourself too. Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote this: earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only those who see take off their shoes. And so, as we conclude this morning's service, I want to say to you, there's an invitation here. Some of you, God may have been speaking quite distinctly. For others of you, there will be things to go home and think about. But we've already suggested that prayer will be offered today for those who would want it. And for any of you who've got maybe things in your head about who you are that are negative and destructive, God wants to and can change them. And we'd love to pray for you. So feel free to come forward at the end of the service.
I have seen you turn it back on, haven't I? I have seen, I have heard, I know, says God. We're going to sing this song, I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my